Didn't we have more snow? Wasn't that true? I mean, when I was I couldn't wait to go sledding or, well, I say skiing. Back in my day, we got these little metal skis about like this. My sister made me pull her all different places. That was part of the deal. Thanks, Scotty. So good to have you with us today. The drama's going to be great. The kids have worked hard. It's going to be awesome. Pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. You're off to see the woman. Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming. I see Ben and Cherie over there. That's awesome. Merry Christmas to you guys. Great to see you guys again. I see that lovely lady beside you. It's great to have you back. Awesome. Awesome. God is so good. So good. I want to show you a video here. Now, we're seeing signs and wonders just, again, starting to happen. We've changed. You ever notice that God, he doesn't change? Hebrews says he doesn't change. But don't we? I mean, we just got to, God, what we thought, sometimes are like, okay, and I got to change. I got, you know, so he doesn't move. He's immovable. He's just the rock, the solid. So, you know, we've changed some of how we do ministry here, and God has shown us some wonderful things, and that's been wonderful. We've always believed in miracles. Don't you know that's part of us today? Not just us as a church, but the body of Christ. And so we're praying for people, and we're seeing things happen. We've got a guy that's coming at the end of next month that is just, God is using to do incredible miracles, incredible healings. You know, like, and we have all of that in us, and we're believing for that, and that's happening now. I get to pray for people all the time. I'll pray for you today. When service is over, Pastor Kim and I will be right down here front. If you need prayer, we'll believe God. Well, if you need a healing, I'm believing you'll get it today. I mean, that's what he does. He's done that with me for years. He uses me in that, and I'm thankful for it. But I got this guy coming off the chain. And he is coming, and he's excited. And I want you to watch this video. It's coming at the end of next month on the 25th. That is a Saturday at 6 p.m. and then Sunday morning at 10:30. So it's kind of going to be almost like a miracle healing conference. He's stoked. He's ready. Check it out.
Because I'm no longer the sinner who's connected to it. I'm connected to the vine, and through the vine, there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death. It is a flow of the life of God.
It was a promise. You'll never be sick another day in your life, because I'm your healer. I'm now your doctor. Come on, guys, think about it. The Israelites, all they knew was the medicine and the witchcraft and the sorcery and the occult of Egypt. That's all they knew. They didn't know God like we know God.
Going to be awesome. We're going to see some things. I mean, you know, seeing documented cases, people coming out of wheelchairs, legs growing out. I mean, just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we're going to have it here. We're going to even see it before then and after then. We're believing God for great stuff. So you want to be here for that. Again, the 25th, that's a Saturday night at 6, and then Sunday at 10:30. I'm believing the place will be packed. We're already getting people calling now because it's on his website. It's now going to be on our website. All of that promo will be up there, and people are already calling from different towns. Is Chad really coming? Is he coming? Okay, I'm coming to your church. And, you know, and so people are excited. You know why? Because God's involved in it. So I just want you to be part of that. I can't endorse that enough, that we just want to be where God wants us to be. So that's what's happening. That's coming. Christmas Eve, I hope you plan to be here. Just an hour service, 5 to 6. There'll be cookies. Not that that's going to bring you, but if that helps, there'll be cookies. 3 kinds of cookies, actually. I think maybe 4, but I know at least of 3. But they're good ones, deluxe cookies. Come for the cookies and find Jesus, all right? Just teasing. Come for Jesus and you'll get cookies. How about that? But it's all good. So anyway, I'd love to see you Christmas Eve. And Pastor Kim and I just... anytime we get a chance that we can spend a little time with you and enjoy, that's a service that's really special. There'll be communion, candlelight, and it's just really cool to see the place and everybody with candles. The drama will happen again on Christmas leave. So I'm in a little bit, I will announce for the students to be dismissed so they can go get ready. But I wanted to tell everybody Merry Christmas. And on behalf of us here at TLC, we love you. We hope you have a great Christmas. And isn't Christmas so much about tradition? Tradition and the things that we do every year. At our house on Christmas Eve, you've probably heard this, but if you're new, you get to hear it now. Burritos. I don't know how my mom and dad started that, but it's like stuck. And of course, if my boys get a chance to eat a lot of food and it's burritos, they can pack that in, man. They're ready to go. I remember what mom and dad's, we'd go there. Katie and Amy might remember. There'd be burritos, and we're there with my sister Crunch, Kim Milgate, secretary. Her husband Jeff, his brother, would be there, and he would always tell me, this is years ago, he wanted to have a burrito eating contest with me. That boy, he'd turn sideways, stick out his tongue, he looked like a zipper. He's skinny. And he had hair like Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Marty! You know, that kind of stuff. But he ate five one night. And I mean, they were loaded. They were big. And I'm like, I stopped like at 2.5. And I was just like, and he's like, I'm going to out eat you. And I'll just let him go. Man, at the end of it, boy was miserable. Why am I telling you that? Just thought it was funny. Man, I still remember his face that day. And he's like, I don't feel so good. Anyway, burritos, tradition. I don't know what traditions you have in your house and things. When my kids were little, I told them the Christmas story every year, Christmas Eve, under a blanket with a flashlight and a nightgown, a special nightgown. I still have that nightgown, and I've even brought it and showed you guys before, but that is not happening this Christmas Eve. Me in a nightgown is not something you want to remember. But anyway, traditions, wonderful things that we remember we do each year. But I want to talk about the meaning of Christmas and talk about you for just a second. And before I go any further, is anybody else hot in here? Okay, Scott, wherever you are, can you take care of that for me? Can you hear me, Scott? Aye, Captain, I can hear you. Star Trek fans, never mind. Scott will hear me. All right, John or somebody in here, you can radio Scott. He's got a radio on. Just tell me. Turn the air on or something. So let's talk about Christmas. Let's talk about us in Christmas and why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Look, you know, and isn't that his death, burial, and resurrection? That's why we celebrate this time of year, because he came, and this is the time that we pick to celebrate. So between those lines is what I want to talk about. What happened, you know, between the birth and the death and all of that? So I want to go there. What happens between those two events? He was born, we know that, and he was put in place. And it needs to be more than just a tradition. Brett, what do you mean put in place? I mean, because there was a reason Jesus had to come, because he had to be the bridge to get us back to God. Somebody say amen to that. You need to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. God created Adam and Eve. In the second chapter of Hebrews, he says that they were created to rule over the earth. The Bible says there wasn't anything that they weren't in charge of, that wasn't subject to them. And we know this, we know the enemy, he loved that authority, he wanted it, he was jealous of it, but he couldn't take it because it wasn't given to him, it was given to them. So he, because he can't take it, he had to get them to give it to him. And so he lied and deceived and all of that story. And so then he convinced Adam and Eve to rebel against God, and they lost that position of authority. Now, in that marketing scheme, when the enemy is doing all this, there's things that he didn't think about. He was already going to hell himself. Do you know that? Judgment had already been cast on where his outcome was going to be. And I'm sure you've heard people say this, why would a loving God, this is what I've gotten, send people to hell? And here's my answer. He doesn't. God won't send you to hell. Adam made that possible. Right. Now, choose, even if by default, if they don't want to choose God, there's only two ways. So then they'll choose the other by just not choosing where they spend eternity. And Adam didn't realize it, but he put the enemy over God. You know, at the time, have you ever done something you're like, I wish I could change that decision, but you're under pressure, under the gun, and you were like, okay, I'm going to, and then you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have did that. I wonder how many times Adam is, said to himself, I wish I wouldn't have did that. But he allowed himself to come under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of darkness, under the enemy's jurisdiction. And he has now the same judgment as Satan. That's where Adam is heading. That's what happened at that time. Hell was not created for us. It was created for the enemy, the devil and his demons. Now, all of that lineage that came after Adam was automatically headed towards that same judgment. That means all of us. So God had to make a bridge. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter how good you've been. Doesn't matter if your halo lights up the hallway. This isn't about that. This is about how you get there. If we were going on vacation and I was driving and that was the only vehicle and you wanted to go on vacation, you got to get in the vehicle. Make sense? Heaven and hell isn't based on good or bad. This is a legal issue. Listen how quiet it is. This is a legal. Jesus was God's rescue plan to get mankind out of the kingdom of darkness and back into the kingdom of his love and light. So when Adam and Eve blew it, God had to get somebody else to believe in him. And he did that through Abraham. Abraham's lineage, since he believed God, he made a covenant with him. If you will remember, and I'll say it in a little bit, he was fully persuaded. Anybody ever been fully persuaded? We'll talk about that in a second. But through the lineage of Abraham's seed, Jesus could legally come into the earth. He had to come through a woman. And so there had to be lineage that had to happen according to the Bible and according to Scripture. And Satan hates that. That's why he doesn't like us, because we were made in the image of God. He hates it because that lineage proves that Jesus is here legally. Legally. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, then you need a new citizenship. You need to change citizenship and make a citizen's arrest. So if I was titling this, that's what I'd call it. Citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest. That's what I would title it. Matter of fact, when I gave the media team this message, citizen's arrest, Ron sends me back Barney and Gomer. Could I put this as the thing? Citizen's arrest. I said, yeah, but probably Facebook could probably, you know. Anyway, as we go on in this message, if you're watching on Facebook, you might want to get ready to go to truelifemarion.com because our website live streams. Facebook could shut us off as they do the drama. And if you want to see it, they can't shut us off. That's why we do it on the website. So just so that you know. Colossians 1:13 says this: He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love. Isaiah 9:6-7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, ever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So let's just peel this onion back. Let's just break this down a bit. Jesus is the head of a government. A government of a kingdom. A kingdom is a king's jurisdiction, his authority, kingdom, king's dominion. Kingdom, king's dominion. So it's his jurisdiction. Jesus is the head of this government and is established and upheld by justice. Justice means administration of the law. You know, the long arm of the law. Justice will be upheld. So the law there. Just like in the United States, the law upholds the Constitution, upholds our society. That's what it's supposed to do. I'm not saying that always happens, but that's what it's supposed to. In the kingdom, there is no flaw. The kingdom is based on justice and the system of the law. And here's the law, righteousness. And I thought about, you know, righteousness. And that's a Bible word. That's kind of cool. It's a, you know, what's that mean? Righteousness is just simply this, God's right way of doing things. That's a layman's terms of that. But it's established and upheld by what the king says is right. And God does not change. He makes the laws. You know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible that declare the king's will for your life in his kingdom. Over 7,000. That's a lot of promises. Ephesians 2:19 says, Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. When you come to Christ, when you accept Jesus as your Lord, You become a citizen of the kingdom of God and a member of his household. I love this, and here's just a perfect example of this. I love the Bensons. Wave at me, Jeremy and Caitlin. These guys right here, they have their children, and then they have grabbed some other kids. And they're all together. And they have become members of their household. That's what they're talking about. They've established the household. And these guys, because they said, yes, I'm coming into that household, now that those rules of that household apply to them. Are you with me? Okay. So what God says is right. If you have no idea what God says, you could believe what isn't right and not mean to. Did you know people that are deceived don't know they're deceived? Because why? They're deceived. So they don't know that. Or you've always grown up to think that the Browns and Steelers are the best team. You're deceived. You don't know that. One of you, the Steeler fan back there, watch it. But you don't, I mean, if you don't know, you don't have any idea what the benefits are of the kingdom because nobody told you. I'm telling you, as God is changing my mindset, I'm retraining my brain. I'm like, I'm not the same pastor I was just even 2 years ago because he is saying there's so much more. And I just kind of put him in a box and thought, well, this is how it's been because we've always raised in the earth curse system. That's not the system. So when I come to Christ, I'm a new citizen and a member of his household. We say that, but we kind of say it flippantly like, oh, yeah. But if we understood what it meant, there are benefits and promises that you don't, I mean, there. How would you like to not go through stuff that you go through, but you don't know? And if you don't know, you go through it. But you don't have to go through it. Some of you are like, huh. But I'm telling you the truth because I got the T-shirt on that. You know, a lot of the problems that Kim and I went through, I caused them. She caused them. We both caused them. Whatever. But we could have avoided that had we known the benefit package. Are you with me? So not only do I have the right, I'm a son or you could be a daughter of the kingdom of God. That legal system, I'm an heir to the king. The Bible says I'm co-heirs with Christ. Everything that he has is mine. I've never thought about it like that. My kids never ask me what chores they have to do if they want to eat. They don't. They don't come in, Dad, if you just give me some food, I'll run the sweeper. I'll mow the yard. Just tell me what to do. Can I have some food? No, they just go to the refrigerator and get whatever they want. Why? Because they are in the family. That what is mine is theirs. They don't have to ask me. My sons, when they were living at home, eating was an art form. They could put some food down. I heard of a guy who said this. He took his boys, he took them to a buffet. And every dude seems to like a buffet more than women. Women, this is, my wife and Mal and Maddie, this is what goes through their mind. I don't know who touched that spoon before you did. Don't know where their hands have been. You know, and I don't really think of that. Did guys think of that? I do now. We went to Amish country one time and we went to where you can just sample the cheese. I love cheese. Cheese is one of the four food groups, right? I think. And so I'm like, and they have all kinds. So I'm like, oh. And Kim's like, don't. I'm like, why not? She said, stand back here a minute. She said, see that guy over there? I said, what about him? She said, watch him. He grabbed some cheese, shove it in his mouth, lick his fingers, put his hand right back in there, grabs more, and she goes, you want to go get some cheese? I never was aware of that. I would have just, guys have 5-second rule, let's get it. That same day we went somewhere at some chocolate place and there was a spoon and you could spoon out candy, chocolate, and put it in your hand. The guy just stuck like this, stuck the whole spoon in his mouth and shoved it back in the thing. I'm like, nasty. I never would have seen that before because there are people right after me. Oh, boy, chocolate. Where was I? Okay. My boys is an art form. Anyway, this guy has his two boys. They get three plates mounded with food. Come back because the buffet, it's all you can eat. You know? And he comes back. He said, they ate. And, I mean, we leave. He said, we live 10 minutes from the place. We get home. I go in. I, you know, get into, you know, take my coat off, get my shoes off, and we're going to get ready, watch some TV or something come out. My son's standing in front of the refrigerator with the doors open. He goes, what are you doing? This is what his boy says. I'm hungry. He's like, we just ate. I mean, you just ate three big plates of food. He said, do you ever get full? This is what his boy says. No, but I do get tired of chewing. See, my boys were like, oh, just give me more food. I just, you know, and I mean, that's, it was an art form. They never ask. If I was paying, we went to a restaurant one time, again, I'm just telling you stories just to help you. Went to a restaurant one time and we let them order. Probably not such a good idea the first time. I'm talking to Kim and you know that parent thing, that spidey sense that goes ding, 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 ding. I'm hearing Sam tell the waitress, I want this. And this, and I mean, he's like getting two and three entrees. I'm like, hey, hey, hold the train there, Jack. Just pick one. I'm hungry. Well, fine. Just eat one, and you can eat when you get home. Okay. All good. But why would they feel that way? Because they have the estate with me. They have the estate with Kim. It is part of theirs as well. They simply just say, pass the potatoes. Pass the food. You know, and there, some aren't shy. If it's the last piece of chicken, keep your hand out of the way because there's going to be a fork probably going for it. They own it. And I'm glad. Most of us, and we, Kim and I did this too, we almost beg for what we already have. Our prayers are based on hoping God does something. Just hanging on to the hope that something will happen. We've talked about this last week, but still, hope is needed, I get it, and that's awesome, but we should know. If his words promised it, we should receive it and know that I don't have to ask for something I already have. God has never changed. Guess who needs to change? Brett. God isn't holding out on me. I didn't know what was legally mine. And I didn't know how to expect it because I just didn't look. And see, that's what we do in church. We want somebody else to tell us everything. I wasn't getting told the right things. In the earth curse system, in just the world system, they don't tell you everything. I mean, you just came through an election. They mask a lot of things in there. Vote this way. They don't tell you what's all under that. So you have to do your own study to find out exactly what you're saying yes or no to. Everybody here's got a Bible. They say the average American home has about five Bibles in them. Everybody here's got a Bible. We could read, but we don't all the time, do we? How do I get what's in the Bible into me? I mean, we all have devices. I have one. We have smartphones. Some of us probably shouldn't have a smartphone. I like the old flip phones because it made me feel like Captain Kirk. I like that. But anyway, but we all have access. You can get the Bible app on here. Our church is on the Bible app. You can do all of that. You can get your devotions on the Bible app. You can follow along. You can take notes. You can do all kinds of things. But I want to get what the Bible says in my life. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it happen. Many brainiacs say this, Pharisaical people or whatever, all that stuff has passed away. That doesn't happen anymore. Can I tell you, my friends, that laws never change? Electricity works this way. This is how it works. And there are laws that govern that. If you know how to put wires together, you can make something light up. Airplanes, the law of lift, it's still the same. You know, and gravity. Gravity works. I don't have to do anything to make gravity work. The only way to go above gravity is that law of lift. But it stays. Stays the same. But if you know those laws, you can duplicate them. I never thought about that. But if I could duplicate stuff in the Bible, if I could look at the Bible and start looking at it as, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Could I do that? Pastor Gary says to be a spiritual scientist. In other words, just to be like, okay, if I could repeat that, that would happen for me if the law doesn't change. I mean, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if I could do that and that's what that requires, that could happen. Or that would happen. The laws of the kingdom are just exact as that. They build buildings like the Empire State Building. There are laws that, you know, they figure out all the physics and all that stuff. We've sent people to the moon. Those laws don't change. The kingdom is as exact as that. Jesus was called the Son of Man when he came. He laid his glory aside. He was ministering under the authority of the Old Testament, baptized by the Holy Spirit, carried God with him to declare this new kingdom. We don't have to beg. Jesus came to be the bridge. Many, like Matthew in the Bible, says this, people will be heard because of their many words. How many know people with many words? They love to talk. I have been accused of that myself. It's okay if you talk a lot. Just say something worth talking about. Sometimes I go clear around the barn and my wife's like, bring it on home. Just come on home. I'm like, okay. And then I'll forget what I was wanting. Rabbit trail. Squirrel. You know, and just start doing something else. But Jesus says this. He says, hey, you want to pray? Pray like this. And he gives us the Lord's Prayer. It just tells us basically how to receive from God. So our issue is learning the kingdom, how it operates, being able to receive from the Father. If I was asking anybody in here or anybody on the street, if Jesus was here and he wanted to heal someone, who would that be? The answer probably would come back, he could heal anybody he wants. It's Jesus. And as much as I'd love to say that's true, that's not the right answer. In Mark 6, 5 and 6, he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in circuit teaching. Why? Their unbelief. I'm going to dismiss the students right now, 180. You guys take off, go back and get ready. Somebody make sure that you get Maddie out of Kidstown. Would you do that, please? In Luke, it says, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians, could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Now, just as I'm reading this, I'm just trying to make this as easy. Anybody ever been to the ER? You think when you go to the ER and you get one bill, you think, okay, man, that's expensive, but that's it. That's not the only bill you're going to get, is it? You're going to get one from everybody that looked at you and thought, hey, look at there, that'll be $10. No, that'll be $100. Oh, you're sick. That'll be $5,000. We need to run this test. Why? Well, because we would like to get another bunch of money. I don't know. But, I mean, on their side, they're probably, well, we want to eliminate problems. You know, I don't know. But still, this woman had come and spent all she had on physicians. We can relate to that a little bit. We know what that's like. Came up, and this is what she said. He came up behind and touched the border of his garment, and the flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me. I perceived power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down, declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed. Immediately he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus heal her? No. Listen to what I'm saying. He didn't. He didn't even know she was there. That's why he said, who touched me? He didn't heal her. Whose choice was it to be healed? It was hers. She had already determined, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well. He didn't even know she was there. Everybody was touching Jesus. And if you get an idea of this, this is like the Beatles or Elvis or Michael Jackson or something. We see these things on where people are like, oh, you know, I just got to touch him, you know, or whatever, whatever. But they're all pushing to touch him. If they're all, if it's just because he is just healing power manifested, anybody that touched him should be healed, right? But they weren't. So you got to start asking yourself, what happened that only this one lady out of all of those people gets healed? Many would say, well, Jesus still did it. Well, Jesus was who she touched. Yes, I get that. But he didn't even know she was there. Why weren't the others healed? Remember now, the kingdom's based on laws, and laws never change. But if I'm looking at the story now, I'm looking at it differently. Instead of just reading the story going, you know, and they all lived happily ever after. Now I'm thinking, okay, because I can picture people going, didn't work for me. Nothing happened when I touched him. And starting whatever. Maybe there was naysaying whatever they wanted to say. Well, he didn't work for me. How could I reproduce that? Jesus tells us how it happened. You can pick up on it if we pay attention. He spoke in parables. And, you know, parables are, they're stories, but they make us, it makes you want to go, okay, I want to understand why. So he's not going to actually, he's telling you how, but he wants you to know, that he wants to know if you really want to know how. Does that make sense? Or if you're really paying attention. You know, the key to, if you're wanting somebody to do something, when you tell them to do something, if you're a good leader, you're going to say, now, what am I asking you to do? Let them repeat it to you. Give them a deadline. Oh, by next week, I need to have this and this and this to you. Got it. Because if they can't do that, they'll go and say, well, I didn't get that from our meeting. So Jesus is, you know, so he's telling them. So this, he says things. Now he spoke, when he speaks, everybody goes, oh, that's remarkable. It's amazing because Jesus is known for what? Healing. And we worship him and we love that. But he says things like this, the kingdom of heaven is like, or truly, truly, or verily, verily. I never say verily when I talk, but it sounds fun to say, verily, verily. He's saying, this is what he's saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. And what he's telling the disciples, he's about to show them something they missed. I'm about to show you what law is it that you missed. And he's saying, boys, get your notepads out. You better take some notes, because here comes the truth. He calls her daughter. What's that mean? That means she's lineage. So she's in covenant. So she can, being in covenant, she can accept rights as a citizen. There is healing in the Old Testament. It was legal for heaven to invade earth, but he says what happened? He says her faith had healed her. Not anyone else's faith, but this woman's faith. Her faith had done it. So this brings us to another question. How do we get this kind of faith? Or can I get out of faith? How do I know that I'm in faith? Isn't that's a fun one. I think I'm in faith. But you know, if you listen to yourself talk, you'll know if you're in faith or not. Kim and I were just talking about that the other day, and I was saying stuff, and she said, we need to be in faith. I said, well, I am. She said, not if I'm listening to what you're saying. And you know, sometimes we don't listen to ourselves. So what do we do in that? Well, in that instance, I said, Father, then I just break those words. I want to be in faith. The Bible says that you got, when you get born again, it says that you got not a measure of faith. Listen to what I'm saying. You got the measure of faith. If you look in the King James, it says the measure. The, not a, not some, but the measure. So if I have what I need, then I have to exercise what I got. So in Romans, this is talking about Abraham. He says in 4:20 and 22, he did not waver at the belief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. That's what the King James says, or the New King James says, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. See, Abraham was old, but if God said it, he said, I'm in. I'll believe it. I don't have to see it. If you said it, that's good. That fully persuaded is just totally convinced. What if I said this? This Bible's green. You'd say, you've been in the communion wine. That's black. If I said, you give me 2 hours, I can prove to you this is green, you'd still say, you ain't right. This is black. You know why? Because you're fully persuaded. You know your colors. That's black. I can tell you it's green, but you'd be like, okay. It's black. if I told you the chairs, they're going to fly around the room. You're not white-knuckled going, you're like, Brett, you have lost it. Because you know you sat in those chairs 100 times. They're not going anywhere. You weren't worried when you got to church today that the lights wouldn't be on because you know, hey, they have lights in the auditorium. And when we hit the switch, they work. You're fully persuaded. The supernatural is not supernatural in the kingdom of God. It's natural. In this, we see things happen and we're like, oh my word. But in the kingdom, that's just part of an everyday. It's God's will that you be well. That's what he wants. So we just have to walk in the kingdom, and it goes against the grain of the world. Ordinary miracles are ordinary in the kingdom of God. Jesus said this, healing is the children's bread. In the kingdom, it's easy. You know what makes it hard? Religion. That's why the great thing about children, they don't have all the stuff that we have as adults. They haven't learned all the things that we've learned to block things out. Or, I don't believe that because of this. But children just believe because it's just their nature. They haven't been around long enough for their mind to be molded in another direction. We have to get fully persuaded. How do we do that, PB? Well, we keep the word in us until it becomes part of us. We're always in the word. We're looking at the word for answers all the time. We're asking the Spirit of God inside of us. When you get born again, when you accept Christ, the Bible says your spirit is identical to his. You get connected to him. Your identity is in Christ. Everything Jesus did, you can do, and greater things you can do. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. When we are born again, the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God can flow through us and has jurisdiction here on earth because we are bringing that authority. So when God wants things done, he has us authority. You need a healing? You can have a healing because he wants you healed. Use that authority. But see, the enemy in the kingdom of darkness has taught us fear. Many of us, worry is an art. Well, you have to worry about something. Do you know the Bible calls worry sin? And I'm not throwing stones because we've all done it. I get it. I don't want it, but I get it. So I break it, okay? But we make decisions. Don't we make decisions based because we're afraid? Sometimes, isn't it just smokescreen? They even did statistics that said over 90% of what you're afraid of never ever happens. It's just the enemy just pounding you with stuff. And you just, you know, oh my gosh, oh. We protect ourselves against invisible fears that the enemy has placed that really don't exist, but he's got you to believe that they do. We've been transplanted into God's kingdom of love and light. We have to retrain our brain. Think differently than before. Understand God is for us, not against us. People say God does bad things to people. Who said that? God didn't say that. People say that. When we don't understand, we always find somebody else to blame. Insurance companies, not against insurance, but insurance companies, if they can't explain it, it's an act of God. Tornadoes, they like trailer parks. That's an act of God. I don't know that. Find the scripture on that one. I don't know. That's not true. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not to accept, but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you life. The thief is going to steal, kill, and destroy. Not him. Not Jesus. Enemy does that. Here's the dilemma. We already have legal standing in the kingdom. My issue wasn't in the past that God was holding back. Here's what my issue is. I didn't know. Knowledge. I hadn't taken the time to find out. Hosea 4:6, the first part of it, A, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Instead of changing theology, you know, if the lights didn't work, I'm going to check the switch. Is the switch on? How about the power box? Did the circuit break? Did it blow a fuse? I want to check that before I call Ohio Edison or AEP or whoever your carrier is. Because if they say, well, we have no outage here, there's power to the building. Why would we check those first? Because we know that power comes through those things. There's a connection between the power source and the building. There's a connection between the kingdom and you. Power can come through you. What's your source? It's got to be God. You see, I didn't know what was legally mine. So then a lot of times I floundered because I just didn't know. And I wasn't taking time to find out. I want to have those experiences. God, I want to see those things happen. John 14:12, assuredly I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll also do. Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you accept Christ, he comes and lives inside you. I'm going to challenge you, and I'm almost finished here. You give me a year and I'll show you the kingdom and change your life. You watch 2025 be the best year you've ever had. I challenge you. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. It doesn't say, now listen to me. It doesn't say seek God first. It says seek the kingdom first. Now, understanding that kingdom, you can't have that kingdom without God. So that's a package deal. You understand that? So I'm not trying to put anything, nothing is above God. But I'm saying when we think of God's way, his right way of doing things, you're actually seeking God. But it's in his kingdom that these laws operate. When you find the kingdom, you find God. The word says that we need to get fully persuaded. I don't know about you, but we have seen miracles just happen recently in our house. I've prayed, God just did it. So I'm just the jumper cable, but I was fully persuaded. I was just believing. I got to pray for somebody just the other day. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. How you doing? Great. It's like it's fixed. Of course it's fixed. God fixed it. Why? Fully persuaded. And he was fully persuaded to receive it. Are you with me? You have legal rights. It's time we switched citizenship from the world to the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to do an altar call right now, but I do want you just to bow your heads and pray with me. You could put on a little bit of music if we have it. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed, I'm not sure which kingdom you serve in. Many of you, I know, I'm sure, but if you're saying, you know what, PB, I want to serve in the kingdom of God. Before we say the prayer, we're going to say it in when this drama is over, but I want to plow the dirt a little bit, if you'd let me. If you're thinking about that, these students are going to show you a story that's going to portray what we're talking about. And then when this is over, this is only about 5 minutes, we're going to say a prayer. And if that's you, and those that are watching online, this will be your chance to jump from the enemy's ship to the kingdom of God. Everybody look at me. Are you ready? This is Christmas is going to be one that is marked on your life for the kingdom of God. I'm going to have Caitlin come wherever she is at, and she'll get us